Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner, and today is the 13th of January, 2011. It has always been my pleasure to meet with you on a daily basis and to expound upon the Zionist colonization of America and of the Western allies in Europe, whose newspapers are owned and operated by none other than the Zionist bankers of the Western world. This, of course, has been to our detriment. The allowing of Zionists to run 95% of our newspapers is a threat to the national security of the United States and of every country that allows this to happen. At one time in Canada, 65% of all newspapers were owned by one Zionist person by the name of Izzy Aspew. He's passed away, but his son still run these newspapers, and at one time a story was issued that Izzy Aspew had told all of his reporters that they couldn't say anything negative about Israel. Well, Israel, of course, is the cause of our wars in the Middle East, always has been, always will be, although our leaders always lie to us and say that such is not true, because to admit that it's true is to admit the connection between the donations of the Israelis in Canada and America with the killing of people in the Middle East for Israel itself, for the Zionists, for those who own our newspapers, and who can threaten our congressmen with total political dismemberment at any time they wish to. Because when you own the media, you own the minds of the American and the Canadian and the British people. And by manipulating the news, by deciding who you will cover, and whether you'll do it positively or negative, you decide the future of the politics of the entire nation. Let's be totally honest, and let's make no mistake about it. Whoever controls the minds of the people controls the nation itself. It used to be that the church controlled the minds of the Western world, and the Western world was known as Christendom. The newspapers themselves were basically the church. When the peasants would come to the church on Sunday, a priest would stand up and read the news of the world, of Christendom. What happened in Hungary, what happened in Rome, what happened in Jerusalem, what happened in England. These things were read from a small piece of paper, which was copied and sent on to the other churches. And this is the way the news accumulated throughout the Western world. And the only place where people would meet would be the church, and since there was no printing press, there was no other way to get this message to people. Besides, the people couldn't read and write. The people were basically peasants who had no need to read and write because the owners of their farms and their parcels of land were the ones who understood the price of goods, price of hoes, the price of hammers, the price of bricks, the price of cows, the price of whatever they needed, and the peasant didn't have to be concerned. There was no need to study the Bible. The priest would tell you everything you needed to know about the Bible. It was a very simple time, a time of faith. And during a time of faith, you certainly wouldn't want to have people studying the Bible. But for those who wanted to, eventually there was a university system that grew up, which eventually weaned people from the Bible and made people into materialist, despicable, disgusting individuals who really didn't particularly believe in God anymore, who read the Bible only to dispute it and who learned science and mathematics and business so that they could hug filing cabinets, plow fields, sell corn, and make money. In no small way, the Jewish ownership of newspapers was responsible for much of this. The Jewish-owned newspapers didn't particularly want to further Christianity. They were not beholden to the church. In fact, they considered the church itself to be a threat to all sane Jewish people, because the church was extremely anti-Semitic, which is a word that the Jews themselves coined, a word itself that's filled with lies, since the Jews have no relationship genetically to Shem, from which anti-Semitic or anti-Semitic comes, because the Jews themselves came from Mongolia, and the Mongolians came down to an area just north of Turkey where they settled, in a nation called Khazaria, which then converted to Judaism. Without 1 ounce of Jewish bloodlines, these people became the new Jews of the Western world, because most other Jews had been wiped out, except for the few that lived in southern France and in parts of the Middle East. I think that when in 1900, when Rothschild sent a party to look at what was going on in Israel, he found that there were 25,000 Jews living there. Now, provided those Jews didn't go there from Europe during the Crusades, they might have some Semitic blood in them. Oh, that would be doubtful after all those years. And if they had any Semitic blood, it probably came from intermarrying with people from Ethiopia, Egypt, and other Arab-type tribes in the area who were themselves Semitic. But they certainly didn't come through Abraham and Sarah, but through Abraham and his other wife, through which the Arab nations were formed, through his son Ishmael, and not through Isaac and the other children that were related to Abraham. But they are the children of Abraham. But at any rate, the nations of the Western world have become extremely materialistic. The power of the church has been destroyed by the power of the press, the power of the bank to hoodwink people on loans of money that doesn't even exist, money that is created out of nothing in the Federal Reserve, handed to the banks and then counterfeited again and again and again, and given out to people as though it's real money, when in fact it really isn't real money. It is nothing but numbers that were created inside of a Jewish-owned bank. Many people have criticized me for using the word Jewish and Jew. They think that it's unseemly in the modern world to use the word Jew, that somehow this is somewhat Hitlerian or Nazi-like, or associates one with the KKK, which I find rather interesting, because it's certainly all right to refer to someone as a Christian, or a Baptist, or a Catholic, or a Methodist. To refer to someone as a Jew shouldn't be any more obscene than calling someone a Christian, or calling someone Islamic, or calling someone Hindu, depending on the religion. A Jew represents the Jewish religion. He calls himself a Jew. But when someone outside of the Jewish faith refers to him as a Jew, somehow that person is to be suspected of some sort of racism, of some sort of prejudice. Well, if he's prejudiced for saying that, then perhaps everyone who says Christian is prejudiced as well. Perhaps everyone who says that someone is Islamic is prejudiced. Perhaps someone who says that a person is Hindu is prejudiced. Perhaps if you call someone an American, you might be prejudiced as well. Since a person who is Jewish comes from the Jewish nation, if you notice that someone comes from the American nation, maybe by saying he comes from the American nation, he therefore is an American, that you must be somehow anti-American by noticing that. I mean, after all, if you're anti-Semitic by noticing someone is Jewish, perhaps you would be anti-American by noting that someone is American. It automatically, according to the same mythology, shows that you are negative against America, when in fact all you did was to mention a noun, American, which everyone understands. And the same thing holds true with Jew. Everyone understands what the word Jew means. If you call Jesus Christ a Jew, well, you're not really considered anti-Semitic then. You're considered to be an intelligent person. But if you consider a Jew to be a Jew, then, oh, that's a different story. And the reason it's a different story is that you have been propagandized by the best. You've been propagandized by the Jews who own your media, which has taken the place of your priests who used to read the news to you. Now your news is read to you by the Jews who write the little stories that you read in your newspapers, or who write the news that you hear on your radio or you watch on your television set. You now know what the world is like only through the eyes of a Jew. And when you say the word Jew, you should think of Jesus Christ as a Jew. That's what I like to do. When I use the word Jew, I think, well, Jesus Christ was a Jew, and it's a good thing that people say he's a Jew. So when I say that the Post-Dispatch is run by Jews, or at least used to be when Pulitzer ran the Post-Dispatch, then I consider that to be a good thing, because Jesus was a Jew. There shouldn't be anything wrong with using the word Jew, but the Jews have told you that there is, as though there's something anti-Semitic about saying that Jesus Christ is a Jew. Well, I don't think any of you ever mean anything anti-Semitic when you say that Jesus Christ is a Jew, because if you did, it would mean that you hated Jesus Christ, but that wouldn't be true. And likewise, if you call a Jew who isn't Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that you hate them either. But you feel that you might hate them if you call them a Jew, because the Jews have been telling you in their newspapers that if you mention that they're Jewish, if you blow the whistle on them as to where they come from, that this shows that you have a certain suspicious evil character about you. And the reason they've told you that is that during the time of communism in the Soviet Union, it was very well known that the Jews started communism. It was printed in the New York Times, the Encyclopedia Britannica, reports by the State Department, etc., etc., etc. Just go to your library and look up the New York Times microfiche and look at Jews in Russia, 1917, the Red Revolution, etc., and you'll see we're on the front page. They show these Jews that took over the Soviet Union, people like Trotsky from New York. They'll also have Jews in New York saying that, oh, well, these are atheist Jews. These aren't really us. Yes, we did do it, but it's not us, because we're religious Jews and they're atheist Jews, and yet the same Jews that were saying this were the ones that owned the department stores, and who were nothing but materialist, capitalist, grubbing pigs. And yet they claim to be religious Jews. Well, they don't have time, if they own a department store, to do much biblical study or Talmudic study. That would be the furthest thing from a Jew's mind in New York City. They didn't run around carrying huge Torahs with them and opening the scrolls and looking at them for lunch while they're having a cup of coffee. No, they were looking at their bank ledgers. They were looking at their stock portfolios. They had nothing to do with being Jewish, except that they were in a tribe of people who grew up learning that they were Jewish. That's all there was to it. But they certainly weren't religious people. They're probably the most atheistical of Americans. They might walk to their synagogue and chant and listen to cantors and so forth as a form of entertainment. After all, in the early 1900s, there was no radio. There was no television. I mean, entertainment, you either went to a vaudeville, in which case you saw a Jewish comedian and some Jewish singers and actors, or you went to theater, which was owned by Jewish people, and the actors there were Jewish. So if you wanted something that was free and you were a peasant, you went to a synagogue if you were Jewish and heard the cantor sing for you, and then heard people reciting things from the Talmud and from the Torah. And that's pretty much what you did. And you made your wife sit in the back room where she couldn't see you, because you believed that if you saw the women, you would be distracted from your religious duties on that particular day, which was the only day that you would spend doing that. So, at any rate, that was pretty much the way that it was. But they still make you think that if you use the word Jew, that you're being anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. But they can never explain why, when you say that Jesus was a Jew, that that's a good thing. But when you say that a Jew is a Jew, that's a bad thing. You see, it's just crazy when you think about it. See, we usually don't think clearly. We've been taught to think in a fuzzy way because the Jews have been very deceptive throughout their history. Jesus said of the Jews, of the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father the devil, who is a liar and shall always be a liar. Something that you've probably never been allowed to understand is that Jesus himself was kind of a, he was kind of a anti-Semitic dude, actually. Jesus said in John 8:44, as I said before, and this is the New International Version, which was in 1984, which tried to clean things up a bit. He said to the Jews, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So he says to the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. The New Living Translation, which was in 2007, just a few years ago, it was cleaned up a little bit more. It said, same lines were translated, for you are the children of your father the devil, speaking of the Jews, for you Jews are the children of your father the devil. This is from Jesus Christ, by the way. For you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. Your father the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Your father was the devil, and he's always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When your father, the devil, lies, it is consistent with his character. For he, your father, who is the devil, is a liar and the father of lies. The English Standard Version says pretty much the same. I think sometimes if we get to the King James Version, we get to something a little older and less gnawed upon by the correctivists. King James Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. It's pretty close to what the new ones are, actually. You see, the thing that you don't really talk about too much is that your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord your Savior, was an anti-Semite. Today he would be arrested for a hate crime for saying these things. He made up this beautiful little myth, by the way, about the tares of wheat. And he said that there was a field. A good man owned a field, and the good man came by and threw seed into the field. And then an evil man came by and threw weeds or tares into the field. And so weeds grew up around the good seed, the good plants. And the people listening to Jesus said, well, what does that mean, Jesus? And he says, well, the story of the tares of wheat, the weeds inside the field, is the story of the church. The field is my church, which I founded. It is my field. I planted the good seeds. Jesus Christ planted you, the Christians, in the field. But the Jews came by and penetrated the field and told you lies about me and about Christianity and about God, and tried to make you turn against each other and to fight among each other. And this is Satan. This is Satan, who is the Jew, who put these seeds into your field. They said, what should we do? Should we burn the field down? He says, no, harvest the good ones. You know, harvest the good souls, and then burn out the evil one. burn it down to the ground, down to the stubble, so there's not anything of them left. In Matthew 13:38, Jesus said, "The field is the world," although he also has said it was the church, "and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom, the Christians. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The weeds are the Jews." The weeds are the Jews. Well, you see, it's supposed to be good to call Jesus a Jew. That's supposed to make the Jews feel really good, but Jesus didn't really like the Jews particularly. He wasn't really a Jew. Some people said he was a Benjamite, actually. He didn't come from Judah. He lived over by Metropolis, around the Sea of Galilee, where the Greeks had settled after they took over the world. Many of them lived up by the Sea of Galilee. They didn't like particularly being in Jerusalem. It was a little too hayseed down there for them, I suppose. At any rate, Jesus came from there, and the Jews asked themselves, could anything good come out of Galilee? I mean, this man came out of Galilee. I mean, obviously, he must be like the Greeks. He must be tainted. He must be tainted. Another thing Jesus said to the Jews, he says, "You're doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." And he says, "No, that's not true." He said, "Though you do not know him, I know him. And if I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his word." Jesus liked to differentiate himself from the liars who were Jews. The liars said that they represented God, but they really represented evil in Jerusalem. They represented having a dead church and a temple that was made of stone, and of having people kill innocent birds like doves and innocent sheep and give part of the meat to the priests as their due for slaughtering them to the Lord. And he said, "This is ridiculous. This is not what God is all about. God is about love and not about blood. God is about doing the things that I tell you, which is to love your neighbor, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to give unto Caesar what is Caesar's due, and to try to live a good life, not a bad one." Which is kind of, I suppose, anti-Jewish from the point of view of the people that ran the temple. Because if the people stopped bringing sheep and paying a pittance in the terms of coins to the priests, they'd have to get a real job. They'd probably have to shut down the temple and start a Macy's right in the middle of downtown Jerusalem so that people could be converted even more to materialism as they are today in New York, St. Louis, Washington, D.C., and every other city in this godforsaken materialistic civilization that the Jews have made for us, as opposed to the city of God that was the vision of Jesus Christ, which people used to believe in but evidently no longer believe in at all. And those that do have called themselves Zionist Christians now, meaning that they are a part of the Church of Christ of the devil, where the devil is overlaid across Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ would be throwing up, he would be vomiting at the phrase Zionist Christianity, for he would be totally against such a crude and evil concept. I have been somewhat pleased that the slaughter in Tucson, where 6 people were killed and 18 were injured at a grocery store, where a very nice and upstanding young Jewish congresswoman was shot in the head by another Jewish person by the name of Loeffner, Lee Loeffner. And the Jewish press has not yet revealed that he's Jewish to you because they wish to deceive you and lie to you. They're afraid that if they tell you this, that you will not hate white people And they told you that Loeffner was white and that he was evil and that you should hate him. And they also said that he was of the Tea Party, because they don't want you to like the Tea Party, because the Jewish Party is the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is the party of anti-white people, the party of people who are friends with the Jewish Bolsheviks of New York, the Jewish communists who started the Soviet Union, the Jewish bankers, the people of evil in America, the people of the devil that Jesus taught you about in the Bible, which was in, I just mentioned it. What is that part of the Bible there? It was John, wasn't it? It's in John 8:44, when Jesus said, "You belong to your father, the devil, to the Jews, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Well, that's pretty much what the Jews are in the newspapers. And they've been lying to you, telling you that Jared Lee Loeffner is a white person. Well, as a matter of fact, he's a Jewish person. He's not a white Christian with the Tea Party. They said he was with the Tea Party. Now, these are white Christians, most of them. There are a few Jewish people in there, but mostly, since Jews are only 2% of the country, you know, you're talking about 98% of the people in the Tea Party are Christians. Come from a Christian tradition. They believe in the Constitution of the United States, which the Jews consider to be evil, because the Constitution says that you could have a gun to protect yourself from the government itself. It doesn't say from the government itself, but that's what it's for. That's why these people had their guns out in the frontier. They didn't want the government to tell them they couldn't have a gun, because an Indian might come by and kill them and their family if they didn't have guns. They needed to have guns. And the Indians today are the government itself. And our own sons and daughters who are constantly joining the military and being taught that killing people is a good thing, that killing your people for God and country is wonderful, that there's a blessing to it, that descends from God himself upon your shoulders because you are a soldier, and be a soldier of God and smite your enemy with your strong arm and with your sword, and all of this other balderdash that they tell these people in the military. Which is basically something, if you told a young person, 5 or 6 years old, you could be arrested for misinstructing the youth, for saying things to them that might make them do bad things later in life, and training them in the wrong way. And yet our schools allow military people to come in wearing uniforms that the kids find very delightful, and then telling them how wonderful it would be to become a member of the U.S. Army, or of the Air Force, or of the Navy, where you could kill people for God and Jesus and for America. Not for Jesus, of course, because the Jews would be offended if you mentioned the word Jesus. If you mentioned Moses, it would be all right, but they wouldn't want you to mention Jesus inside of a public school, because they're 2% of the country, and that 2% wants to be able to control everything. Well, why shouldn't they? They control the newspapers, they control television, they control radio, they control business, they control banking, they own your mortgage to your house. That, you know, you don't own your house, it's a Jewish house. It's owned by the Jewish bank that you borrowed your money from. You've been hoodwinked by these people all of your life. And according to your own Bible, usury, interest, is a terrible, terrible thing. And yet the Christians today are totally Zionized. They believe that if you buy stocks and they go up in value, that this is just being a good, wise person, that you're preserving the talents that God gave to you and using them like a good husband, and you're increasing your wealth, and that's good. Of course, you haven't done a lick of work in doing it. Other people are working their tails off to produce the wealth for companies, which you are going to absorb when you sell your stock, your interest in the company, which means that you'll actually be stealing from the people who worked for the company, that you are a thief. And but you don't like to think of that, and when I mention it, you think, well, this guy's really a weirdo. He says that if I own stock and it increases, that I'm exploiting the workers. But no, I provided money for the workers because I provided capital for the company. Well, no, you haven't provided capital for the company. You have provided free money for the people that own that company. People who, if you really look at it, have been placing your money in their pocket all these years, screwing you out of honest assets that should come to you. But since they're at the head of the company, they get to do what they want. And the last thing they want to do is to give you their money, because you're just the fool that was stupid enough to buy their stock. Because they are Jewish people who, as Jesus said, were children of the devil, who is a liar and a murderer, and will always be a liar and a murderer, and someone who steals from others, which is what you've become, because you have decided that money is more valuable than love, or God, or Jesus Christ. But you also feel that it's good to call Jesus Christ a Jew, even though Jesus said that Jews were of their father the devil. And I don't think he would like you calling him a Jew. It is such a burden for me to be the bearer of truth in a world that's filled with deceit and lies, because the world is owned by the Jews, who own the newspapers, the TV stations, the radio stations, the movie houses that make movies for you filled with lies that tell you that white people are stupid and that black people are just extremely intelligent, and you should always go to a black person to get real information of use to you. That if things are at their worst, you always go to a wise black man, and he will give you the truth, because the Jews basically don't like white people. They consider them to be the children of God. They confuse you with being Christian because you're Europeans, and the Europeans are the Christian people of this world. And the Jews are anti-Christ. They consider you to be anti-Semitic, but they are basically anti-Christ. And they have done everything they can to wipe out the influence of the Christian religion, including making the fraudulent, paying for the fraudulent translation and footnoting of the Scofield Bible, the turn of the century, paid for by Rothschild, where the Bible itself becomes minor by comparison to the footnotes, all of which say that Zionism and the reestablishment of Israel around Jerusalem is the most important thing that the Bible teaches, so that all of the Old Testament statements that might be twistable into that kind of a concept are mentioned again and again, even in the New Testament, line by line, so that when you're finished reading the Bible and all of these fraudulent footnotes, you begin to believe that it's not about Jesus and the Christians, it's about the wonderful Jews who tried to kill every Christian in Jerusalem after Jesus was killed, according to the book of Acts and all of the epistles. Yes, the Jews in the temple, who wanted Christ dead and killed him, they also killed Lazarus, because they didn't want him running around having been raised from the dead by Jesus, which is one of the major reasons why people believe that Lazarus actually was raised from the dead, was because the Jews wanted to kill him, because he was a miracle that proved that Jesus could even overcome death, which was anathema to the Jews, because they couldn't do that. All they could do was kill pigeons and doves for sacrifices at the temple for the little peasant Jewish people who were superstitious enough to think that this was a good thing, even though the Jews that ran the temple knew nothing about the temple, because for 400 years they had not even been in that area. They had been removed by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon, and then from Babylon they went to Turkey. St. Paul was a Jew who lived in Tarsus in Turkey. He was the one that used to kill Christians for the Jews of Jerusalem, for the people who ran the temple. The Sadducees, and including the big one, Caiaphas, the head of it, with the big long beard and the little the descending curls along his temple that wanted Jesus dead no matter what? Caiaphas, yes. Yes, the boss of St. Paul, who started Christianity. And at first, though, he was a murderer. He sent his agents in to kill St. Stephen, the first martyr. And he sent them in to kill others and to have them arrested and where they could be tortured by the Sanhedrin, which was run by the Sadducees and Caiaphas. And then eventually he claimed that he had a vision that Jesus was the real God and that he became a Christian. But instead of converting Jews, which he tried at first, he decided that he should only convert the uncircumcised, the goyim, the Europeans who weren't Jewish, who had not an ounce of Jewish blood. And so he had to come to Jerusalem and talk to Jesus' brother, James the Righteous, who ran the Christian church in Jerusalem. Which has always kind of bothered me. How could you have people being killed by the Jews and still have Jesus' brother running the Christian church, except that, guess what? They killed James, too. Yes, they did. They rounded him up, arrested him, and killed him. This is another martyr. So he came to see James, St. Paul did, about getting permission to convert the uncircumcised to Christianity. Well, the Jews down there, like St. James, he said, well, we can't do that because these aren't Jews. But he finally got St. James to say, okay, do it, and then he left and started back up toward Turkey. And then the Jews, he found out that they were plotting to kill him. So he fled to the governor, Festus, who was in Caesarea. I've been to Caesarea. It's a port town. You know, the Romans, their empire was basically a water empire. It was a naval empire. And it was basically in the Mediterranean. They controlled the countries of the Middle East because they were on the Mediterranean. And the Romans could send ships there into a protected harbor so that storms would not bother them. And when the weather was good, they could send supplies to those people so that even if everybody in Jerusalem rebelled in Caesarea, they'd still have plenty of food, plenty of arrows, plenty of spears, plenty of swords, plenty of soldiers, because they would be supplied by sea from Rome into the protected harbor. And this was true of every harbor. There was a harbor at Alexandria for Egypt. And this is how the Roman world worked. They were a sea power. And England was controlled by them because it was over the ocean. And they could use boats to get their supplies up into England. And they only went so far from the ocean. They went all the way up into Scotland, and then they built a wall because it was getting too far from Rome so that Rome couldn't support them very easily to begin with. And if they went all the way up to the tip of Scotland at a little town called Thor, which I've been to, by the way. I've also been to Caesarea. If you went to Thor, you'd be so far from Rome that you'd just be thousands of miles away. How would you ever be supported? And the ocean up there is just a horrendous, horrendous ocean, although the Vikings learned to sail it pretty nicely. And to take over most of England and Ireland through that ocean. But the Roman ships weren't good enough to do it. But the Viking ships were, because they were built a little bit differently so that they could skim the top of the sea, stay away from the rocks, and avoid a lot of the problems that a deep boat like the Mediterranean types that the Romans built, the heavy ships, the slow ones, wouldn't be able to navigate very well. At any rate, as I was saying about the anti-Semitism and the whole foolishness of it, since Jesus was anti-Semitic, what I'm trying to tell you is that you've been hoodwinked by the best, by the devil, by the people of the devil, according to Jesus, and it's all come full circle. And now instead of getting your news from the priest at a church, you now have a bunch of splintered churches that fight against each other, at least used to. They sort of tolerate each other now, but each one of them is looking for a little piece of the same piece of pie. And And they're very jealous about keeping their converts. And they've been hoodwinked by the Jews to allow the Jews into their churches. I went to Third Baptist Church in St. Louis, and there was a Jew that gave millions of dollars to the church, and everybody thought he was just great because he had converted to Christianity. And he was on the board and everything else, and he ran a finance company in St. Louis. And everybody, when they see him, oh, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. This, Mr. That. I forget his name, but it was a Jewish name. And everybody was so proud that he had become a Christian, that he had converted. They thought that was a real plus, that they had hoodwinked a Jewish person into becoming a Christian. They thought that was great. These were in the days of Billy Graham and of all this evangelical fervor after World War II. And when we basically stopped Hitler from stopping communism in Russia, we came on the side of Russia, which was the side of evil, the side of the bankers, the Bolshevik bankers of New York, who had started the Soviet Union. The one who originally started it was Jacob Schiff, who owned the Guaranty National Bank in New York. Gave Trotsky $20 million, which you're talking billions of dollars now, of $20 million in 1917. Seen him over the fortune of $20 million to fund the Red Revolution and to kill the Christian Tsar and to help wipe out Christianity in Russia. Didn't it always hit you as kind of weird that the Russians wanted to kill out Christianity? That the communists did? Well, these communists are the same as the people in New York who run the banks and the media there. You don't see too much religious stuff on TV anymore, do you? Of course you don't. Because the Jews are Antichrist. I know, you find that offensive. You find that offensive, but the early Christians knew they were Antichrist. Because they suffered at their hands whenever they would try to hold a religious ceremony in Antioch or other Roman towns. The Jews would come forward and be offended because the Christians said basically that the Jewish God had produced a child by the name of Jesus Christ through a virgin. And they considered that to be heresy. They thought, well, this is just terrible. They're misusing our religion, and we need to stop this right now. Because they're spreading this evil and this great lie throughout the Roman world. And so they went to the Roman establishment, and they said, this should be illegal. We want you to stop these people from worshiping in our towns. And the establishment went along with the Jews usually and kicked the Christians out. Yes, the Jews were Antichrist. They didn't like Christ. They didn't like the idea of a savior that was, you know, saving people who were non-Jewish. Well, they didn't like them saving the Jews either, but they especially didn't like them saving the uncircumcised who were not of God and having their God be the father of a son who cared about all of mankind, bypassing the Jewish establishment and of all of its cathedral, not all of its synagogues and all of its buildings and its bank holdings. They didn't like that. They thought that was a terrible thing. And so they hated Christianity with an absolute passion. And therefore, according to St. Paul and all the other saints, St. Paul finally had to go to Rome in order to be tried for treason. And he was found guilty. And the Jews were the ones that were pushing it. They were the lawyers pushing it. And they killed him. They killed St. Peter's too. And they got the Romans to come out against the Christians and to blame the Christians under Nero for burning down Rome. They were up to no good. These were the tares among the wheat. These were the weeds within the church and around the church that were trying to kill and destroy every Christian that they could in the Roman Empire. And so definitely, they were Antichrist. But if I say they're Antichrist, then I become an anti-Semitic person. Even though Jews themselves have not 1 ounce of Semitic blood in them, the blood they have is Mongolian blood from Mongolia. As is true of most Turks and most southern Russians, who like themselves immigrated through a long passageway from Mongolia down to Turkey and to southern Russia, where they lived. And they don't want to be called Mongolian. They're racist about Mongolians. They hate it when you tell them they're Mongolians, even though they are. They denounce what they were. They want to live the lie that they're Jewish. But we know that they converted around 700 AD to Judaism to avoid a war with the Islamics and a war with the Christians. They were caught in the middle. Well, they converted to Judaism because they wouldn't have to fight a war then, because neither of these two religions were going to fight the Jews. They didn't care about the Jews. So that's what they became. All for the wrong reason, not because they believed in God, not because they wanted to be good Jews. They just didn't want to fight a war. Well, I mean, they were lazy. Who would want to fight a war anyway? But they want us to fight their wars over in the Middle East right now. But they didn't want to fight a war. But they'd love to make money off of a war if they could somehow figure out how to make money off of the Turks and the Islamics fighting the Christians and the Russians. Well, as bankers, they could get the Tsar to get money from the Jews and their banks and pay them interest for it. And they could get the Suleiman of Turkey to do the same thing in a war. And they could make some money off of the deal and be good for them. But other than that, they simply converted because, not for the right reason, because they loved God, but because they didn't want to have a war. And they didn't care about conversion. They didn't care about anything. They just cared about their own selfish self. And so they converted falsely to Judaism. And ever since then, they maintain their Jews, even though they're not. They're only fake Jews. I used to like to try to call these people whom Jesus referred to as the sons of the devil, who is a liar and is always the liar, who he called the Jews, and the people who wanted to destroy his church in the Tares of Wheat story. But it gets so wordy. You know, to keep talking about fake Jews, you know, the fake Jews who own the fake Jewish state of Israel, and on and on and on. You know, you put the word fake in there, and pretty soon you forget the word Jew even. It gets a little crazy sounding. But they are fake. They're not real Jews at all. And they don't know the first thing about being a Jew. And the Jews who came back from, called themselves Jews from Turkey after 300 or 400 years of exile in Mesopotamia and the Persian Empire. They came back and rebuilt the temple after they tried to steal the money from the king who gave them the money, Cyrus and Darius. I forget which one is one of those. Finally, they reluctantly built a temple. And then in the Old Testament, we find them sitting down and trying to figure out, well, what the hell do we do with the temple? We don't even know the first thing about being a Jew anymore because we haven't worshipped this for 400 years. So they made the religion up. Yes, they made the religion up, which means that Israel itself, 2,000 years later, they don't have the first notion of what it means to be a Jew either. I mean, if it was made up 2,000 years ago, if it was made up 2,000 years ago by people who had forgotten what it was all about, and only a few people were inside the Holy of the Holies under King David and King Solomon, what in the world would they know about being Jewish? They were raised as pagans, and they came back and had to reconvert to Judaism, and they didn't know how to sacrifice an animal at the temple. And the Old Testament shows how they made it up. They had people sit down and decide what their rituals would be because they didn't have the first idea of how to do this. And the people in the synagogue said, they don't have the first idea of what it means to be a Jew. The whole thing is totally different. They haven't met a Jew their entire existence. They've been living with a bunch of Mongols who converted to Judaism and pretended that they were. And the lies just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We're a Jew. We do this. We do that. You don't even know what you do, Mr. Jew. You have no idea. Your relatives didn't know. You made this stuff up, you know, because you had to make something up to try to keep your religion going. And that's pretty much it. And if you're going to tell me that El Benai and El this and El that, these temples that you have, which are so modernistic, have anything to do with the old ancient temples that you guys had? They don't look like that at all. The Christian churches don't look like an original Christian church either anymore. Although the Catholics have tried to keep the aisle in the middle and the altar at the back, But they stole that themselves. They didn't make that up. They stole that from the Romans. They stole it from the old diocese system that was started by a Roman emperor by the name of Diocletian. Diocletian, using his own name, came up with the idea of diocese. They were sees. They were little Diocletian governments. He wanted to raise cabbage in Yugoslavia across the Adrian Sea from Rome. And so he divided the empire into 13 different dioceses, and he created a church where they worshipped him, the emperor, Diocletian. There was a church with a long, narrow aisle between chairs where people would sit and look straight ahead, and over the altar was a picture of Diocletian, way at the top with sunbeams coming from his head. And this became the church of the new Christianity when his predecessor, his descendant, I mean, Constantine, made the church. He simply took the church of Diocletian. He'd been the emperor before Constantine, and said, I'm giving this to the Christians. You will do your altar work here, and you'll keep the picture of Diocletian up there, who will stand for Jesus Christ, and on and on and on. And so Christianity is a made-up religion of Roman pagans like Diocletian and the worshiper of the sun, Sol Victor, who was Constantine, who pretended that he was a Christian, but he never got baptized until about 1 hour before he died, because he didn't want to be bothered with Christianity. And the Christians appointed him as the great savior of Christianity and of the world, in that he converted to Christianity. Well, he certainly didn't show it, did he? And when he got all the Christians together to determine that the Trinity was the central focus of Christianity, that you had God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one person, which was actually the heresy that that started the Muslim religion, because the Muslims wouldn't put up with it, because the Muslims were true monotheists. There was only one God, and to have one God in three, they wouldn't put up with that. And so the schism between Christianity and the Muslims started, which has had, you know, started one war after the other, and now Israel's having America, a so-called Christian nation, which is really a materialistic atheist nation of shoppers who go to malls and who watch people half disrobed on television every evening, seducing each other, and mysteries where people are killed and shredded and screwed over by the police to get them to confess things that they normally wouldn't confess, and their rights are violated, etc., all the time as part of the show. This is the world you live in. And you call yourself Zionist Christians now, which would make Jesus just vomit. He would vomit from the cross if he knew you were doing this to him, saying that the Jews, the Zionist Jews, come first in Christianity. Jesus would have a fit. He would have an absolute fit. He would slap you. He would say, how dare you? I showed you in my Bible that the Jews belong to their father, the devil, and they want to carry out his desire, which is that he is a murderer. He doesn't hold to the truth. There's no truth in him. And when he lies as their father, the Jews' father, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies, and that's what the Jews are. That's what Jesus told the Christians. And the Jews were antichrist and tried to kill every Christian they could get their hands on in the Roman Empire, including St. Paul and St. Peter, who was crucified upside down. The Romans wouldn't have done that. That was the Jews doing that. They were the ones that got them to do that. They had the money, just like they do in America, to get the government to do whatever they want the government to do, because they have always been in charge of banking. That's what they do. It's a part of their shtick. It's a part of their lie. You know, they'll get people to put money in a bank, and they'll print paper over it. And eventually they'll print too much paper, because they're always stealing from people. Because, like of the devil, they're a liar and shall always be a liar, and that's what they're still doing. That's why we're in a depression right now. They stole too much money. They lost it. The whole scheme of bubbles collapsed in the economy, one bubble after the other. And now we are in a situation that's dire. And yet, you know, we've given them trillions of dollars. They've walked off with it. Have they tried to get rid of the housing crisis by doing something to negotiate with people to get a better loan for their house? Hell no. They're a bunch of pigs. They hate Christians. They think you're stupid for getting a contract with them for your house. They want to screw you out of every dime they can get from you because they are of their father, the devil, as Jesus said. So, what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm going to keep using the word Jew. I think that's what Jesus would want me to do. I'm not that much of a Christian. But I've read the Bible 16 to 20 times. You know, I've even written my own Bible. You know, I'm a very religious person internally. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't be a Christian with people being so stupid as to have Zionist Christianity on top of their church. That Jesus came here to save the Jews? No, he came here to be killed by the Jews, to be rejected by them, and to save their other people. That's what the Bible says. But you stupid Christians, you'll do anything that somebody like John Haggai tells you to do. An absolute nobody from Texas who's a fat pig slob. And if God spoke through him, he certainly wouldn't have him be such a huge pig. You know, he'd get somebody who was svelte, like Jesus was. You've seen the pictures of Jesus on the cross. He certainly wasn't a fat pig. He was a young man in pretty good shape. And not like John Haggai. If anything, God's shaped John Haggai to tell you that he's a liar. That he's not telling you the truth. And you can look at the man's mouth and his face when he's talking. You can see there's something crazed about him. That his vision is just as ruptured as his faith. He's even said that Judaism takes precedence over Christianity. That it's not Christ's sacrifice on the cross, but it's the Jews' sacrifice that saves people, etc., etc. One big heresy after another. But that's just the way it is, isn't it? And I'm not supposed to say the word Jew, but he can call his church Zionist Christian. Oh yeah, he can say Zionist Christian all he wants because they like Zionism. Zionism, you know, the racist Israel, the state that was made for Jews alone. And Zionism's okay. Zionist, the word Zionist means evil. It means a racist, single religion state that treats other people unfairly. That's what Zionist means. It means people who kill other people in order to steal their land. That's what the Zionists have been doing since they got to Israel. They're killers. They're apostates. And they're hypocrites. They say they run a democracy, but they're running a theological state. And a theological state can't ever be a democracy. No, definitely not. Where only Jews can be citizens? Does that sound liberal to you? Does that sound like everybody gets a fair shake? Give me a break. Give me a break. Where do you people come from? You know, how do you allow yourselves to be thrown into the pit with vipers and then to lick up under them and worship them and even to place them on top of your own church like, the, you know, being the weeds that they are that destroy your people? You know, the tares of wheat inside the harvest. You know, with the good seeds, you put the bad seeds to the Zionists. You call yourselves Zionist Christians. We are covered over by the people who are the sons of the devil, according to Jesus. Well, you people need to think this out a little deeper than that. This is Frank Weltner for The World Today, inviting you to return tomorrow for more of the truth, which I will bring to you on this radio broadcast. Thank you and have a nice day.